Hello, welcome to the Expressive Mom Show. Miriam Salzberg here, and it is always so wonderful to have you along. And today's topic will be about parenting and depression. In fact, I had recently written up a blog post about motherhood and depression. So my guest today, her name is Jasmine Pierre, and she's from New Orleans, and she's an advocate for clinical depression, and she's going to be discussing the truth about the effects of depression. So I'd like to take this time to this opportunity to welcome Jasmine. Hello, Jasmine. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great, thanks, and thank you so much for coming on to the show. So I'm going to ask you, what led you to become an advocate for clinical depression?
Well, I dealt with it myself for about 7 years, and I just know how it feels to go through it, so I just figured, you know, I would just pass on the experience I had with it to other people to, you know, encourage them and let them know they can get through it too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's very, very common for new mothers to experience what is called postpartum depression. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, I actually have talked to a few mothers who deal with postpartum depression. And I feel that it's very, very serious. I feel like it's even more serious than clinical depression because they are at more risk for suicide than, you know, somebody else that just has, say, major depressive disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the symptoms, would you mind if I list some of the symptoms?
Oh, go ahead, please.
Yeah, you can feel overwhelmed and you can feel guilty about, I guess, just not spending a whole lot of time with your child, because when you have postpartum depression, you don't always feel like that natural bond that you have with your baby. So
mm-hmm.
you could kind of feel guilty that, you know, you're not having that bond that you should feel. You can feel confused and scared, irritated and angry. It's just different in all types of mothers. Like, the ones that I have talked to, it varies in each person. Like, one of the mothers I talked to, she said she was angry all the time and
mm-hmm.
she wouldn't want anybody to be near her daughter. And
mm-hmm.
Another mother, she said she would cry all the time and she would overeat and she would
yeah.
have insomnia, you know, like trouble sleeping at night. And another mother, she said she would catch really bad panic attacks all the time. So it varies in each mother.
Well, I had it after I had my daughter, I had some postpartum depression. It wasn't severe by any means, but what I did, I just withdrew. I withdrew, I felt numb, but I knew that this wasn't right. It was absolutely not right. I knew it was beyond just the baby blues that people talked about. So I went to my doctor. I was actually put on medication, and I was getting some therapy, and it really helped me. It did help me. So, you know what, it's very common. And, you know, the one thing that really bothered me, too, is that not many people talked about, they weren't too open about postpartum depression. They talked about
mm-hmm.
baby blues, but they didn't talk about the seriousness of postpartum depression. And the fact of the matter is, it's extremely serious, and it's very, very common. And correct me if I'm wrong, but if a woman is prone to clinical depression or even just mild depression, if you will, does she have a higher chance of having postpartum depression?
I say this would be true. I actually have a friend that I did talk to, and she dealt with clinical depression before she even had a child.
Mm-hmm.
And when she had her baby, she said it was a whole lot worse.
Okay.
She also dealt with insomnia, and she had a lot of self-esteem issues, and she's
yeah.
dealt with it for a long time. So, yeah, I say it can definitely get worse.
Now, actually, let's talk more about clinical depression, because let's talk about the signs and symptoms, because you know what? Some people may have it and not realize it. So what are the signs of clinical depression anyway?
Some of the signs of clinical depression, that some of them are actually very similar to postpartum depression, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, I would have trouble sleeping at night. I would have trouble concentrating. There can be anxiety, panic attacks. It can lead to suicide attempts. Like, it's
wow.
a lot of the things that happened with me as I read on postpartum depression is a lot of similarities that go with it.
But I'm assuming it can be ranging from very mild to severe, where severe would be
yes.
suicidal, where mild would mm-hmm. be just feeling like a dark cloud is over you all the time, but you still can function, right? Is that correct?
I say, yeah, it could be mild to severe, but I say if you don't get it under control, it can lead to it getting more severe. Because when I first found out I had it, mine wasn't as severe as I guess it was like a year ago. But like I just over time, I just didn't do anything to like get any help, so it got worse over time.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So my question as well is, would postpartum depression, could it last for years? I mean, you know, people automatically think that if they think of postpartum depression, it just lasts for the amount of time that the child is a baby. But is that true?
It actually can last for years. I'm glad you actually brought that example up, because I actually talked to another mother, and she's on her second child, and mm-hmm. she said she's had it for, you know, years. Sometimes if you can't get it under control, it actually can stay with you for years, and she's trying to get help, you know, to get better. So it can definitely last for a long time if you don't get it under control.
And, you know, there were these tragic stories that you hear, too, like with Andrea Yates. And there was another one, and they suspected that she had postpartum depression that was just not under control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, could it lead to something so serious like that? Could it escalate to something so serious like that? Because that is very important to know.
Yes, and there's also something very rare called postpartum psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
I know that could actually happen. That kind of goes hand in hand, but it's very rare. Like, I think it's 1 in 1,000 of
okay.
mothers that could actually catch it. But it's worse than just the postpartum depression, because you could actually have hallucinations and being disoriented and confused, and you know that could also lead to suicide as well. They just have feelings of, you know, things are going to be wrong with their baby, and they're just, you know, they're not in their right state of mind, so it can be very serious.
Okay. Thank you for bringing that up. Thank you so much. Now, the thing is, I would imagine that if a mother already had, like, an underlying condition that would lead to that, would probably be more likely to experience that. Is that true? Like say, schizophrenia or something.
I would say that's a possibility, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with if you were already dealing with life situations before you got pregnant and during you got pregnant, like I think that's like a possibility for it to, you know, lead to postpartum depression too. Like mm-hmm. I've just been doing a lot of research on it lately, and I've you know, just been talking to certain people, and you know, who actually like went through things when they were pregnant, or like we said, somebody who already had depression, and it could just lead to, you know, things getting even worse than it was before.
Right, right. Wow, okay. Well, this is very important. Thanks for sharing all that. And the other thing I want to bring up, too, is that there's a lot of families out there, a lot of parents that have kids with special needs, and that can also create, that also can bring on a depression. Have you spoken to mothers that have children with special needs and how they're coping?
Actually, my mother, she actually dealt with depression herself. And my sister, I mean, she's no longer with us now, but she has cerebral palsy, and
mm-hmm.
she passed away almost 2 years ago. She was 6 years old. And, you know, my mom had depression, so it was kind of, I guess you could say, it could be difficult for her at times.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely say, like, having a child with special needs, and, you know, you're already dealing with a mental illness yourself, it could bring even more stress to you. I definitely say that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very sorry to hear about your mother's passing, and
my sister.
I also have to agree. You know, it's if you are dealing, if you, you know, the thing is, if you are, if you don't deal with depression and you're quite strong, then it can still happen if you find out that you have a child with a significant special need anyway. That can also bring on depression. But the thing is, I think the odds are a lot higher if you're prone to depression as it is, and this happens, because this is a big issue, a big situation. And yeah, that really can bring on, that can certainly bring on depression.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know what, there's probably many mothers that are listening that are thinking to themselves, I'm wondering if this is me. I'm wondering if I'm dealing with depression. So what do you suggest to them?
I would definitely suggest to them to, you know, go and seek help, because it's really hard to try to get, you know, take on depression on your own. You
right.
know, I tried it myself, and it's just, you know, you need help. So I would suggest, you know, they could go to therapy. There's group therapy. There's mm-hmm. medications out there. I mean, there's help out there for them. So I would definitely, you know, tell them to go and seek help.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important, because you can't deal with it alone. Absolutely not. I mean, even if it's mild, even if it stays mild, it's going to be very difficult to
right.
really enjoy anything. You know,
yes.
it really is. I know it, because I've been there. I get that. So it's very important to seek help and to really take it seriously. So now I'm going to talk about something else. We're going to flip the coin here and talk about children and depression and what to look for, because a lot of children deal with depression too, and the parents may not be aware of it. So what are the signs of childhood depression?
Signs of childhood depression, there are a lot of the same signs of adults, actually, just being not being able to sleep at night. And, you know, the child, you may think they seem kind of cranky or something like that, but it could actually be, you know, if it's lasting more than a couple of days or something like that, it could just actually be, you know, mood changes, because with your depression, your mood can change a lot too. I know mm-hmm. that, you know, my mood would change a lot. And I definitely would say that, especially being a little kid, it's really serious for them to, you know, go seek help, because they don't, you know, as a kid, you don't really understand what's going on. You know,
right,
it's kind of
right.
hard to understand depression. So I would definitely, you know, help them to see a counselor or, you know, their doctor, to see who can, you know, refer them to somebody to, you know, get it under control.
Yes, yes. Very important, very important. And you know what? It happens a lot more. I mean, does it happen among really young children, or do you see it more among teenagers?
I see it more among teenagers. Like, little mm-hmm. children, it can happen to them, but it's not as, you know, the numbers are not as big as, say, as it is in teenagers, you know, and young adults. It's,
right.
'Cause that's actually when mine started. I was about 18 years old when mine started. So, mm-hmm. you know, young adult.
Okay. Yeah, so that's when you started dealing with it. I mean, I'm thinking, when I'm thinking of the children, I'm thinking definitely under 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that a lot of times when girls hit puberty, that's probably when it starts to show. Is that true?
I definitely would say so. And then there's so much, you know, there's so much pressure in being a teenager and, you know, trying to fit in with the crowd and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and there's so much bullying going around. And,
yes.
you know,
yes.
when I was growing up, the internet wasn't as big, like, until I started getting into, like, you know, my early 20s, it wasn't as big. So you have Facebook and Instagram and stuff now, and you put that on there, and it's out there forever. Like,
yeah.
I heard about this, there was this parent, and he actually, he disciplined his child online.
Yeah.
And, you know, it went everywhere, and she ended up committing suicide. So, I mean, that's horrible.
That's horrible. Absolutely. Absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible. Yeah. So yeah, no, this it's very important to know because it is it's true. I mean, children, there's a lot of children that are dealing with depression. So, you know, a lot of people don't take depression seriously. But
right.
The thing is, it is very serious. It can be extremely serious, especially if it's not taken care of. So it happens to a lot of people. So what would you say the what would you say the percentage of the U.S. is dealing with depression, just approximately?
Of the U.S., I don't have an exact number, but I know I can tell you the suicide rates in this country are very high. There's at least over 41,000 people that die of suicide each year. So, and I don't know if you knew this, but it's like you're more than twice as likely to die from suicide than, you know, actually committing homicide. So I can just tell you right there of how many people are actually going through some kind of mental illness and they're not seeking help because a lot of people don't take them serious.
Yes, that's sad, and that's very sad. It really is a serious issue. Depression is not something to be looked over, and especially if you're a mother and you're dealing with it, if you just had a child and you're weepy all the time and you feel like you don't want to do anything and you're withdrawing, and also if you're losing interest in activities that once interested you, that's also another sign as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you know what? Jasmine, tell us if there's a site you want to, a website that you want to share, anything that you want to share so people can either get a hold of you or be more educated on the topic.
I would definitely say NAMI is a very good website, the National Alliance of Mental Illness. There is plenty of resources. They have phone numbers that you can call, and, you know, if you're feeling like you're going to commit suicide and you don't have anybody else to talk to because everybody doesn't have somebody to talk to. So I would definitely recommend, you know, going on that website. And if you feel that you have depression or any other kind of mental illness, there's plenty of descriptions and the signs and the symptoms. And like I said, there's a number that you can call if you feel like that you're going to try to take your own life. So I think that's a pretty good resource for somebody who's going through depression, most definitely.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, thank you, Jasmine, so much for being a great guest because you really shared a lot of valuable and possibly even life-saving information because there's a lot of people that are suffering in silence, and it's absolutely necessary that people can't do that. Like, they just can't do that, especially when it comes to depression. It's a serious, serious illness. So thank you very much, Jasmine, and
You have yourself
a great rest of the day. Everybody, have yourself a great rest of the day, and I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye.